We're just okay and we play some movies. We're just okay.
Movie watchers.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Just Okay Movies. I'm your host Biggie Size and I'm joined by
Guido. Hello everybody.
Hey, hey, it has been quite a while since we've recorded.
Quite a while.
Hey, very nice. Thanks. Like the I have a theory, Guido. Like you had a pretty big surgery lately, and I have a feeling that it was your body rejecting how awful all the Oscar films were.
It could be, you know. I did have a surgery. I had my right leg amputated. I'm still kind of reeling from it. yeah, my body just saw all the horrible Oscar movies, and it was like, you know what? You don't have it, but we're gonna make you think you have diabetes. So yeah, just all clotted up, and just had to get rid of it. But ever since the Oscars have been over, it's been good. You know, it's like my body slapped some sense into me.
Well, that is very good to hear. Quite a tragic story. I mean, I would say, you know, it's probably been said a billion times already that the real winners at the Oscars were Chris Rock and Will Smith for various reasons. And
I'm almost hesitant to say anything about that because it's all been said and it's like fucking, 2 months later.
Exactly. You're totally
right.
I will
say that watching that live was so much fun for me.
Well, it was easily the most fun thing that happened that whole night. I mean, they were, you know, back to the traditional kind of Oscar, although shorter because they cut a lot of the stuff off to like little one-off videos. So it did help speed things up a bit, although it's still kind of sad. But still was the most exciting thing that happened that whole night. Everyone who should have won did, but for me, it's still questionable. They shouldn't have even been on the list. I don't know. All the films were just not. They were fine. They were fine.
Yeah. Fine or below fine, I felt. Coda. Oh, boy. Coda getting the win. It's rough. I don't think the Oscars had any credibility going into this year or for the past like decade, really. It's right. More just an excuse, a personal excuse for me to watch movies that I normally wouldn't watch. And but to say that Coda, out of all the movies of a pretty poor year, but out of every movie that was made that year, Coda is the best one. Is wild to me.
Right. Completely agree.
You know, I'm very, I think deaf people should have representation. That's a story that probably doesn't get told enough, but it's really hard to argue that that didn't come into play. That
right.
The subject matter of that movie wasn't a driving force for it being the winner of Best Picture.
Right. And we got a really good deaf-centric movie last year called Sounds of Metal.
Which is 100 times better.
So much better. Oh, insanely better. I agree with you. It has absolutely the whole, any kind of argument someone has like, oh, they just picked deaf people because it's the new hot topic. No, God, no. That's just not the answer. It's a fine movie. But the subject matter just kind of blows its load really early. They're deaf. Totally understand. It'd be hard to get around life with that. But that's it. It's not groundbreaking or interesting in any way, unlike Sound of Metal, which was a very fascinating subject that, you know, probably aimed similar to what Coda was trying to do. It's just a bummer. It really is. But I can't say it's a bad movie. Probably based on the other movies on this list, it's a good argument that it should be in the top three.
I don't know. I had it at my bottom.
Really? I had it on my bottom as well. Yeah, it was like second to last.
I don't know. Yeah, just a shame. Just what a travesty that whole Oscar presentation. Everything was bad. It was bad.
Right.
It was so a bad year for movies. It was a bad year for Oscars. It was a bad year for the viewers of the Oscars. It was a bad year for Amy Schumer and Wanda Sykes and Regina King. What's her name?
I have no idea. I forgot all about them.
Bad year for everybody. Shame on you.
Is there any one movie in particular that just made you very angry? Like, you were just like, why in the hell is this even being considered to be a good movie?
You know, they're so forgettable last year. This one, like, I can think of, if you give me like 5 minutes, I can think of the whole list. But off the top of my head, they're just all kind of there. Can you remind me of which one you think was bad? Because I probably agree with you.
Oh, King Richard. Easily. Okay. By a mile.
I didn't feel that way with King Richard. I thought it was like Coda and that it was serviceable. It was fine. It was like, I don't know. It's a movie you would fire up on Disney Plus and watch with the family on a popcorn night, you know?
Yeah, I do agree with that, especially if everyone was having a case of insomnia. I would totally recommend watching King Richard and see Will Smith barely be able to get out lines. Yeah. I totally agree. No, right. It just, I think.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think that when he did his acceptance speech, he was doing it in character.
But I just, you bring up a good point, because Coda and King Richard, I would say, are in a ballpark of this, like, ooh, you exist, you're not super offensive or in any way, you're there. Okay, wonderful. But I think for King Richard's subject matter, it deserves more pomp and circumstance. I mean, you're talking about arguably the two greatest female athletes in U.S. history, maybe in world, I'm not sure, but especially focused on just tennis. And the whole film is about their dad, who just ultimately, like, you still wonder if he even made the best choice to begin with, but it was just because he was uncomfortable or liked control. That's what we're going to focus on. And barely have the girls in it. The only time we see the girls is if they're all running around the house, getting into the car, or out of the car, and they're on the tennis courts, but it's not really, except for the ending parts, really that focused on them. I don't care about the dad. It's great he worked hard, but did we have to do it in such a grandizing way for Will Smith to finally get his best actor award? No.
Right.
I feel like he just sold them out to get the award. I just didn't feel good. None of it felt good.
Yeah. Yeah. None of these movies really felt that good.
Well, you know what? Fuck them.
Fuck the Oscars.
I don't even want to look at the Oscars. No more Oscar episodes. This is it. Coda killed the Oscar episodes. We're done. No, we're not. I'd really love it. It's really a fun tradition. Yeah.
Stay tuned for our very next episode in several months, the Oscars episode.
Oh, my God. You're right.
We got to do this more regularly, Biggie, I think.
I think we do, man.
Yeah, I think we need to make up our minds. Either we stop doing this forever or we do it more regularly. All right? I'm just putting that out there into the world.
Okay, I'm accepting it, I'm considering it, and I will circle back around in our next meeting.
Okay.
Good. Well, speaking of which, you know, a staple of this show since the very beginning has been that I always hated the Tom Holland Spider-Man films.
Yes.
And
I've always said that you're very wrong.
You have. You certainly have. And I've always taken your point into consideration. Always do. Even though if I think it's completely wrong. Well, one Saturday I said, you know what? I'm just going to watch them. I'm going to power through and watch them. And Megan sat down with me. And so we went through them. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It really is.
Such a good
is.
Story. It's fun.
It is. It is a lot of fun. I mean, still, my gripes are there, more so in the first movie. And but once and my favorite out of all of them, even right now, is the second one. Was it Far From Home?
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
That's my
that
least
one.
Favorite.
Really, you know, that's what I have found. Seems like people didn't care for it as much. Any particular reason?
I can tell you the exact reason, for me at least, and I think it's everybody just subconsciously. Spider-Man's the main character in any sort of Spider-Man tale, right? And then you got your antagonists. Those are big characters too. And Mary Jane is kind of there, and whatever the fat Asian kid's name is, he's around too. But the second one was missing one of the biggest characters that should be in every Spider-Man movie, and that's New York City.
Oh, no, that's your argument?
It is my argument. New York City is as much a part of Spider-Man as any of those other characters.
But isn't it fresh to see him in a new setting?
No, like, I don't want to see him fucking hopping around the goddamn Louvre and shit. Man, get him out of there. Or wherever the hell he was.
I think after, let's see, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, out of 6? Feature film Spider-Man movie over the past, 20 years? I think we can get out of New York for a moment. You know, go around the London Bridge and around the waterways of Venice. It's awesome.
Yeah, you could do that. It's not going to be as good as any of the other movies, but yeah, you could do it.
You know, you bring up such a great point. Like, I never really thought about Peter Parker as being, you know, almost a character as New York itself. I just never had that... you know, that correlation. I was like, he's a kid. He's in New York. Of course, he's going to do stuff around there. But I never considered it to be a major, like, backdrop for his story.
Yeah, absolutely. All the pieces of New York are just as big of cameos as, like, the little robbers and the neighborhood people. The superheroes that are in it. It's just, it's so at home. Huh. So at home. And now I don't want to see him far from home. I want to see him at home.
Okay. Well, interesting. Well, how did you feel about the final film? Well, I guess the final film in this stint. Finally getting spoilers, but I mean, go watch it, guys. It's really good.
If you don't know by now, go fucking suck Tobey Maguire's dick.
Andrew Garfield, he is so charming.
A charming fella.
He is. I mean, going back to Oscars for a second, one film that he was in, other than Tick, Tick, Boom, which I think he did a good job in it, but it just wasn't a very well-written movie. And that's a bummer, because it was kind of neat. But the story of the pastor and his wife, Tammy Faye, he plays the pastor who really... causes all the problems, and oh my god, he does such a good job in that role. Not very challenging for him, but still, just he's just a good actor. But but it was great to get see them all together, and I love the tie-in with Doctor Strange. Finally get to see him come back, because it's other than Infinity War, which he died at the end, so we didn't get to see him a whole lot in Endgame. We really hadn't seen him very much.
Right.
So it was great to finally get some time back with him.
Yeah, I'll say this. All the Oscar movies, I think the biggest snub was Spider-Man. It was my favorite movie of last year.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I mean, to be able to pull that off is no small feat. And the fact to make it feel like worthwhile. It's not like a Star Trek Generations thing where you just throw Kirk in, you know, an iconic character. You just kind of fuck him off. They really brought these people in and did a lot of actual growth, you know, with their characters and their storylines. That's just impressive.
It's good. Like, the writing was good. The reason for the Spider-Man was all right. It falls into this trap that comic books fall into all the time. And we're going to see more of this in another way. But when things can't be like tidied up with a bow, you just blame it on magic. Magic is always there to kind of be a plot device, and we're going to see more of that now with mutants. Whenever they come into the picture, everything's just going to be, well, he's a mutant, you know, what do you expect? it's a mutant. Interesting. So it's just a nonstop self-fulfilling prophecy of all these magic mutant users that are causing trouble and creating these plot devices for these heroes to solve. And it doesn't show much in the movies now because, you know, this is kind of the first time that this has happened. Although, you know, Power Stones and Infinity Gauntlet, that's all magic too, but it kind of made sense and spanned over a decade. So you cut it some slack. But in comic books, which have been going on for 60, 70, 80 years, this has been, it's just always this. So I think as the general population starts to notice this, that fatigue will really start kicking in, where it's like, oh, what, a magic spell went wrong again? Oh, geez.
Oh, man, you're completely right. I think the way you explain, like, the typical superhero movie, like, I think of, like, what was that one? Justice League. You know, it's that same concept. It's like they had, like, a puzzle box, and they had, like, this dude who just kind of came out of nowhere because he could. It started losing that whole, like, oh my God, if we got this thing that could destroy the whole world, why are there only like 20 chicks like looking after it? It's getting a little ridiculous. And I could definitely see that forming a little bit. And sure. I guess that leads perfectly into the next one. It's the most current one. That's, what's his name? Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I think that's right.
Doctor Strange.
Like, it, the story felt kind of cheap.
It did. It's kind of just what I said.
Yeah. It's magic exactly goes what you bad. Said.
I want magic. Give me magic. I want to be magic power magic guy.
Like, right.
That's the bad guy. And then the magic guy is like, no, magic needs to be used better than that. And everyone's like, I kind of agree with the guy. Like, magic shouldn't be bad, but it should probably be good. And then we're like, well, we'll fight the bad guy because he's using bad magic, and we'll use good magic. And then there will be no more bad magic for a little bit.
Right. That's the movie. That's literally it. The rest is just window dressing, and it looks okay. But you're right. Once you start actually focusing on the plot again, it feels just so contrived and just not interesting at all. And I hate that because the first Doctor Strange kind of felt that way to me. Not as much because we were learning the character and all that stuff, but it ultimately didn't feel like a very in-depth story. But we kind of gave that a pass, and it's been a long time and a major steps in quality up to this point, and it still feels like we're back at the beginning in terms of just like really like sticking your teeth into what's going on. And there's not even that much madness. That's what made me mad. It could have been exciting, like them jumping through all this stuff. I'm thinking like an actual like amazing like Rick and Morty kind of thing where they go around a lot. Like, make it great. If you're going to say Multiverse of Madness, it better be fucking mad. Because I know you got the money, Disney. You got the money.
And I was expecting this is a thought that went through my head. When Kamala, is that her name? Uh-huh. Kamala Khan? Is that who it is?
Yeah, I think so.
When she pulled Doctor Strange the first time, and they have that, there's that cool sequence of them jumping through all the things, and you know, he's wigging out, and they go into the paint universe briefly. It's that, you know, quick montage of all these different universes as they're jumping into the final one. I had this thought in my head, like, oh my God, they're gonna do that, but it's gonna be a fight, like they'll be fighting, and jumping through the universe is this whole like at least 5 minute fight where they're going into different things and you know, physics are different while they're fighting. That's going to be awesome. And then it never happened.
Right. Agreed. The freaking Spider-Man animated one with Miles Morales? I can't remember his name. That was more like Multiverse of Madness than this.
Right.
It's just, why? Like, the multiverse was only used to travel from one set to another, and it was usually not that different of a location because you know, they're kind of jumping around in similar locations to figure out what's going on. Okay, cool. But boy, this is really boring. At least it's over fast. It didn't feel its length, but it just wasn't enough here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had to tell my parents, my mom wanted to see it. She likes Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
I'm like, Ma, before you see this, you need to watch 9 episodes of WandaVision to even understand what the fuck is happening. Because otherwise you're going from Infinity War, where Wanda is just, she helped win. Everybody, hey, look, Wanda's at the funeral of Tony Stark. Great. Like, she helped win, and she's probably grieving, but whatever. And then you jump to her next appearance without WandaVision is Doctor Strange, and she's all of a sudden like has kids and is a bad guy now and wants to harness energy so that she can live with her kids. And nobody would know what the fuck is going on unless they watched a whole season of WandaVision.
And I could speak to that because I've never seen WandaVision.
Okay. Were you a little confused?
Well, that's the part that I'm kind of tainted as a subject for this, because, you know, I kind of keep up with news and stuff. So little tidbits kind of get out that, okay, this, you know, world that she was in wasn't exactly real. Don't really know how that was the case, but I just know that little bit. So, yeah, it is a little confusing at first, even with that knowledge, because she was like, oh, playing with her kids. I'm like, wait, I thought all that was fake, because I pulled on that reference. And then, you know, once it did the switch, I'm like, okay, she's feeling like she wants to get back to that world. But I agree with you. Without what little knowledge I knew of the show and some of the plot points, I would never have been able to figure that out. I'd just be like, she had kids, now she doesn't, and she wants to destroy everything if she has to get to that world. And I think as a story, it told that well. But still, we come back to our issue of it's like paper thin. It's a paper thin motivation. You know, if you're not keeping up with the shows now, your movies are starting to become very affected where they weren't so much in the past. So that is also concerning, that I just felt like they just didn't care. They're like, eh, fuck, we don't really care about this movie. We're moving on. And I just hate to see my boy treated that way.
Yeah, it didn't really, I guess at the end of all this, we get Wanda, who's buried in a pile of rubble, which I assume Vision will one day, you know, go and find her and use his fucking headstone to bring her back or who knows. Again,
magic. God. Oh, man. Now talking with you, I hate this movie more. But you're totally right. You're right on the money.
Yeah. It's they gotta be careful. They need to be very careful with the magic shit coming up into the future. What's the next one? Thor? That should be all right.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty safe with the cast and how popular it's been. I'm expecting it to be like top class. But whatever. I guess we'll find out. Well, hey, on to a real shitter. What about Uncharted? Did you enjoy Uncharted?
From one Tom Holland good movie to one Tom Holland send him to Holland and put him in a mine.
Yeah, I think I've heard that saying going around. It's real catchy.
Uh-huh. Uncharted, me and my daughter saw it. We saw it in theater, and it's a bad movie. It is. But it's not horrible. Watching it in the theater was fun. There's some big set pieces. They do some kind of cool action. There's some puzzles. It doesn't, any of it make sense. And like, you know what's going to happen at the end. Everything is predetermined. So me and my daughter use this now as the ultimate litmus test to whenever we see a movie. Was it better or worse than Uncharted?
I like it. That's the best thing that came out of Uncharted, is being able to use it as a benchmark. Yes. Because you're right. It is the most passable movie. It is a movie, and that's about the best thing you can say is you're either better than this, I hope. If you're worse than this, God help you. You probably shouldn't exist, or you need to recut the film. That's well done. Well done. I'm actually going to add that to my notes so I don't forget that. It's going to be my new bar as well.
Nice. Yeah, the Uncharted test.
It's a bummer because I'm a fan of the franchise, and I knew, you know, after all the tries from the past, 30 years, people have been trying to make really good game adapted films, and it just doesn't happen. Sometimes you get a little surprise, like really Sonic. It's probably been the biggest surprise that it's actually handled pretty well. This is just they change out Uncharted and put something else in, and it's fine. Yeah.
The big problem that I had with Uncharted was I don't buy Tom Holland as Nathan Drake.
Right.
I don't buy it. And Nathan Drake is Uncharted. You got to have a Nathan Drake. And Tom Holland was just Tom Holland pretending to be a little bit cooler than normal.
Yep, exactly. You're absolutely right. That's all they did. His voice is just too high pitched. He'll never, ever, unless he changes in like 20 years or whatever, he'll never be suave.
It's also him putting on an American accent. Hey,
right.
He kind of talks like this. Hey, hey, Sully, I think we got to find the map to get to the place with the treasure.
I mean, honestly, what's his name? Who played Sully? Mark Wahlberg. He would be closer, still not there, but he would have been a little bit closer. I really don't know who would fit that role, but honestly, I think if you can't do that, then you should probably just shouldn't make the movie. And that's clearly what they should have known is, you know, he's on the Sony lot. He probably was obligated to do it out of contract for probably Spider-Man or something else. So, you know, shit it out and hope everyone forgets it.
Yeah. Make your pennies, man. You got to get the money.
Hey, while you're hot, you know, who knows what could happen. Right. But I, you know, we've seen him try in a couple of other movies, like that one with Edward, from the vampire movie. I forgot his name. Robert Pattinson. He played an old country Southern Baptist preacher. And you know what? He sold it. He was the best thing to come out of that movie.
Yeah, that movie was good, but he was the best part of it. I agree.
Yeah, he was wonderful. And that's why I'm sorry, guys. I already tell you there won't be any Batman discussion because I still haven't watched it. But I will get around to that. So hopefully next episode we'll actually chat because I've heard Guido does not care for it. And I'm fascinated by that.
I don't not care for it. I just don't. I think it's overhyped. People like it too much. They're giving it too much credit based on aesthetic. but it wasn't bad. I never said it was bad.
Well, you know what? I'm going to call an audible here, Guido. I'm going to edit that out.
Okay, we're sponsored by Audible. Go to audible.com and use Just Okay Movies upon checkout.
Thank you. And what I want to talk about is a show that we've seen. And I've been very excited to talk to you about it.
Oh, my God. I'm tempted to see if my daughter would come on and talk about it.
Do we want to save that? Because I could probably get Megan on here as well.
I don't think my daughter would. But she's too shy. But she loved it. Says it's her favorite show that she's ever watched. I'm surprised and over the moon that she liked it because I really enjoyed it. And it kind of opened up other opportunities. You know, once teenagers, kids start liking more adult themed, kind of not so teeny childish things, it opens up the door for watching more cooler stuff for the parents, at least.
Ooh,
so
yes.
I'm over the moon that she liked it. And I thank the people at Apple TV Plus for making Severance and me being able to elevator pitch it to my daughter and her being on board.
Oh my God. I might have to actually clip that and tweet it to them. Maybe we could get her at least a heart or something. Oh, yeah, that's so sweet. Oh, that is so sweet, man. Well, we're talking about Severance. And it is a show, the whole season's done. You can go watch on Apple TV. And I think Apple, it's only like $5. You probably get like a free week. Just
binge
it.
Just binge it.
Yeah. Just completely, you will love it. And
unless
I find
you're
that
bomb hab.
Yes. And I definitely want to get into into that one. And bomb hab, feel free to send in a email next time to defend yourself. But I'm very interested at the point you made. What would be like the next show you would want to show her if it all worked out perfectly and could get her interested?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's maybe just a bit over her head and probably just a little too mature for her, but I would like her to watch The Leftovers.
Okay.
Have you ever seen The Leftovers?
I actually have not. It's HBO, isn't it?
Yeah, you and Megan, do yourself a favor and watch The Leftovers. If you like Severance, you're going to like The Leftovers. It has that kind of mysterious element to it. But I have to warn you, the first season is a little bit of a slog. The second season, and I stand by this, is the best season of television created.
Really?
In my opinion. I was enthralled. I loved it.
Wow, that is quite an endorsement.
Yeah. So maybe it's a bad choice to start my daughter with that. If she has even a close sentiment that I have, then she'll be constantly searching for better and she'll never find it. That sounds like madness to me. A multiverse of madness, if you will.
So you would want to go and find a universe that you have not watched The Leftovers season 2?
Yes. Yep, that's me. I'm Wanda in this situation, and my fucking snot-nosed, ice cream singing pieces of shit kids are the second season of The Leftovers.
Jesus. I like that. So for Severance, just to give everyone a rough rundown, if you haven't seen it, but please, please go watch it. The concept's pretty simple. This corporation has employees that undergo a surgery called Severance. So when they enter a particular section of their company, in this case, it's underground, it's triggered and they become a whole different person. Basically, the way the show starts is we have a lady laid on the table. Really cool shot. And when the Severance chip is triggered, they kind of, it's like they're coming out of amnesia. Like they don't know, you know, things about their life. They kind of learn about it through the initiation process and they kind of develop a whole different person, you know, because you're dealing with a whole different set of circumstances. And for the case of our main protagonist, she kind of acts the way I probably would have, very distrustful and honestly kind of angry about the whole thing. But the kicker is, you can't carry that information between the Severance worker and the your person above ground. So we get this amazing dynamic, clean cut. You know, this is the rules as they are. Once you start, things change. But it's also just so damn fascinating, well acted, beautiful design for being so simplistic and utilitarian. That is a feat unto itself.
Yeah, I think your description of it to anyone that has no idea what the show is completely going over their heads.
Oh, for real?
A little bit. Like it's a wild idea.
Oh, and agreed.
It's one that's hard to just kind of give a synopsis of. But you did a good job, I guess. I don't know. I just was, while you were talking, trying to put myself into the frame of mind of someone who has no idea what the show is. And I was like, what the fuck? Someone wakes up on a table, Biggie? All right, dude.
It's a hard sell. I'm not going to lie. This may be one of the hardest sells that you'll make on current television to anyone. Because exactly what Guido's point is. That rundown is going to be like, ooh, that's interesting, I guess. Or you're going to get some people who are like, ooh, that's a cool way of looking at things. Maybe I'll actually give it a go. Because it's a weird concept, but man, oh man, is it done beautifully. Like, I just, whoever the main guy is, the dude from Parks and Rec,
Adam Scott.
That's it. I thought that was actually his character name in that show. That's his real name. I mean, it's well done, you know, well acted. It was almost like he was just perfect for the role. You know, the look, the mannerisms, all that is just so well done and so believable. And as we go, you just develop this, because he's not necessarily the most likable guy in the world, but you still develop this bond to him. And I mean, that's something I feel like we lack so much in films. It's just the concept is not overly insane. It's weird, but it's not just so complex. But even through all this like weird setup, you're able to really love that character and really start falling in love in different ways with other characters in the show, because they're just so well written.
It's kind of a mystery show too. You're watching it and you don't really know what's going on. There's characters that are introduced and, you know, everybody's kind of doing their thing and you're figuring out what they do at this job and how it correlates to their life and what their life is like outside of this place, their personal lives. And there's this one moment, I'm not going to give anything away, but there was this one moment in it where something is revealed and me and my daughter are both watching it and we both audibly gasp. Do you know what I'm talking about, Biggie?
I'm assuming it's the very end.
Yeah, not the very, very end, but I think it's like the penultimate episode, something is revealed. But anyways, didn't see it coming. Never had it in the frame of my mind, and I'm usually pretty good at guessing when things are going to happen. So it's good that a show can shock me like that, and that I can share that shock with my blood,
right?
My offspring.
Right. especially that ending two episodes. It's sort of a lead up ish, if I remember correctly. It's just well done. A lot of good tension, good action, you know, we call it, but it got there not because it was the most exciting thing in the world to actually see on screen. People are just kind of driving around. The only like pulse pounding thing is the poor guy left behind trying to have their little setup work, and but it's exciting and it is action because these are some long running issues that have been going on with some characters we really care for. And that's where I felt like the ending was so well done, because we got some revelation and seeing that, you know, maybe some of the thoughts we even had as viewers are now correct or they were wrong. So not only are the characters learning, but we're learning with them. And that is just so engrossing and captivating and something we don't get to experience very often. I mean, it sends me back to like the... And it's weird that it's also another kind of sci-fi show, movie is The Matrix. I felt that same way. I was learning along with this character about the rules of this world, and it was fascinating. So they're really able to capture that feeling for me, and I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it was such a pleasant watch. I implore anyone to go watch it. You won't regret it, I don't think, unless you're Bombhab. Unless you hate cliffhangers at the end of seasons of shows, which happens throughout time of shows, then yes, you're gonna not like this because it does end on a cliffhanger. Sorry to break it to everyone.
Sorry that they want you to crave the next season. I definitely don't agree with Bombhab, but I definitely I see his point. But no, I just absolutely loved the ending. Well done. It was a perfect length too, even though I'm not liking that seasons are getting a little shorter. It's almost like getting an average of 8 episodes for a season. Like, how soon until one season is just one episode? And wouldn't you just call that a movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Cool. Anyways, what about the stinker film? And I want to see if you agree or not, because I think you saw it in theaters, actually. I look at your list. Did you see The Northman?
I have not seen The Northman. I want to.
Okay, then I'm going to scoot right past that one.
Okay, yeah. Well, I can guess by your tone that you didn't care much for it.
Oh, boy, I did not.
Have you seen The Witch?
The Witch. What's The Witch?
The Witch, it's by that same director who's, it's escaping me now, Eggers, right? Something Eggers. Okay, yeah, Robert Eggers. He made The Witch, which was a horror movie made by A24, or produced by A24. He made it, directed it. And it's really good. I really liked The Witch. They speak in Old English the whole time, but it's a spooky kind of thing about a girl that's living in Old English kind of times, and who might be a witch or might not be a witch, and is being cultivated into this being. It's weird and it's cool and has the right look to it, and I really enjoyed it. Wow. The other one that he made was The Lighthouse, which I also really enjoyed and was spectacular.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
So that I'm two movies that I really liked and are totally different tones than what is being made. You know, they have this kind of verbose dialogue to them, and you really have to pay attention and focus on it to kind of understand and get the symbolism. They're steeped in symbolism. And that's what makes me want to watch The Northman. And I'm hoping that some of that is in it, Biggie.
Well, there's some stuff in it. I'm looking at this movie, The Witch. It looks really cool. So I got it saved. I'm going to check that out. I really hope you're not disappointed. Oh boy, when I was watching it, I had to fast forward and I was laughing and angry and I don't know. I just wasn't sure what they were going for. Okay. But we'll see. We'll see. I did kind of love it.
I had a buddy who said that his biggest gripe was that it was too, everybody looked too manufactured. It looked too Hollywood. Like, yep. They didn't look like Vikings. They looked like movie stars pretending to be Vikings.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. It kind of gives off the 300 kind of vibe.
Okay.
But you know, I'm interested to hear your thoughts. And I'll definitely, hopefully, before we get together again, I'm going to watch those other two. Well, I've already seen Lighthouse, but watch The Witch and see if maybe that puts me in a different frame of reference, or if I'm able to say, like, wow, what happened with this movie? Or it could just be me. This is very interesting choices made for some of the shooting.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully I'll be able to watch a stream of it or something before we record next time. So in the next 4 months, I should be able to find a stream of it.
4 months? That's generous. I don't think it'll be another year. one movie I was kind of disappointed in, and I feel weird talking about it, but the Sonic 2 movie was a bit of a bummer. And because the first one, and maybe it's just because it was pandemic time, I was sitting around not really doing much, but I really enjoyed that first one a lot. I felt it was like, this is a movie that I would be so excited to take, you know, a kid or a niece or something too, if they like Sonic, because not only was it, you know, fun, I think it did interesting stuff with the material, but didn't go too far. It wasn't crazy or anything, but it was enjoyable just as a, you know, an adult. It was fun. This one, yikes, it's cringe. It's exactly what I thought they were going to do. They're just going to, like, everything that worked in the first film, we're just going to double down on when you didn't need to do that. Just keep it the way it was, just add in some characters and a plot point, but you don't need to like double down on all your characters that they're just at that point kind of feels almost as cartoonish as Sonic. And that's just disappointing that they went that route. But
that's a shame, man. I was hoping that you would like it. Or is that the general consensus of Sonic of 2?
Let's see. Well, right now,
a biggie take?
That might it's hard to say because I haven't talked to anyone else who's seen it. So like on Letterboxd, it's got a 3.3 out of 5. I think reviews were kind of in the middle last I saw. Okay. I don't think it's fresh by any means. There, let's do some research on the fly.
Yeah, I have no desire to watch a Sonic the Hedgehog movie. I haven't seen the first one. I will never see the first one or the second one. So, I get it. I get people that are tied to that character and whatnot and want to have a fun time with him. But I'm not one of those people. So, bummer for you?
Yeah, that is it's a bummer, but you know, at least we got one good movie out of it. I was pretty impressed with that alone.
Oh, but they'll come with a third.
Oh yeah. No, I think it's already surpassed the first one in box office. So clearly they're doing something right. We'll see. They're not going to listen to me if it prints money. That's as a shame as it is, but what can you do? Any final films or anything you see you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I know you haven't seen this, so I won't say much, but I will say that this is my favorite movie that has come out probably in the last year. It's so well executed. It tells such a wonderful story that's relatable to anyone, but I found it super relatable just with parenting and family dynamics and living life, always thinking what could have been, what should be. And the movie I'm talking about is Everything Everywhere All at Once. A mom kind of figures out a way to tap into her other universe's life beings. It's really, this should have been the Multiverse of Madness, because it delivered that many multitudes of different universes of this lady's life and how her life could have been. But it's such a true and touching story, and it has funny scenes and cool fighting. It has so much packed into it. And I sat there just kind of, I went and watched it by myself. I'm kind of glad that I went and watched it by myself, because it was such a touching experience that I almost wouldn't want anyone else around to witness me feel that way about a movie. Just, aww, that's my own masculinity coming out. But yeah, it's good. And immediately after I watched it, I texted my sister and I'm like, hey, you gotta see this movie. It kind of relates to us and our mom, and I told my mom she needs to watch it. And yeah, I think everybody can draw a parallel to the story that happens in that movie, and more people should watch it. It's really good. And the dude that played Data and the kid from Indiana Jones, Mr. Jones, he plays the dad in that movie. It's wild to see him because he's old now, but he hasn't changed at all.
What the hell? Wow. That's a, oh my God. Oh, man, I have not heard one bad thing about this movie. A good friend of mine, he's went and saw it. Oh God, I think he's seen it like 4 or 5 times in theaters now.
Oh, wow.
And he says it just gets, you know, better every time, at least initially, because you're just picking up on so much more, and just loved how it was shot and everything. And it just sounds like an amazing movie, and it seems like it's done really well.
I think so.
For its level, you know, it's not a very expensive movie. But the fact that it's gotten that much notice when you had, you know, I can't remember where it's ranked, but like that Moonfall movie that just absolutely died in the box office. So you'd almost just be like, oh my God, if a big blockbuster by Bruckheimer, I think that's who it is, is just going to tank, then I'm not going to put anything out. But the fact that it saw success is really heartwarming, that films like that can survive.
Yes. My one criticism of it is, like, it's funny. They do some comedy bits in it. Some of them didn't hit home for me. It wasn't like I saw what they were trying to do. It was kind of a little too, you know, Disney-esque in that they were like, oh, well, it's been a while since we've had comedic relief, so we should probably shoehorn this in here. That's what it kind of felt like at sometimes. That said, that I can overlook all of that because the story is so good.
Oh, man. I'm very excited to watch it now. Well, hey, if you've got any thoughts on any of the many subjects we talked about, shoot us an email at justokmovies@gmail.com. We'll talk about it in about a year or so and see if it's still relevant. But for real, guys, thank you all so much. All the chatter that, if you're not in the Just Okay Gamers Discord, discord.gg/justokgamers, I mean, don't let the name fool you. There's a heavy amount of movie talk going on in the movies channel. I imagine everyone who's listening is probably in there already, but hey, just in case, it's a fun time. Hop in there and chat about some movies. But anyways, Guido, pleasure as always chatting with you. Great insight. You've given me a lot to think about over a couple of things.
Hey, thanks, man. You know, looking back on this episode, I actually do think I really killed it. So thank you.
Good. Good to hear, man. All right. Hey, you all take care. Talk to you later.
Bye.